Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, new election audits are coming under a newly passed law. Several school districts face down looming budget challenges, and after more than a half century, the Democratic Republic of Congo is back in the World Cup.
Man, this is amazing. So many generations didn't see it. I wasn't born. My mom was like 1 year old last time we made it.
Today is Friday, June 26th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Governor Brian Kemp signed into law yesterday a bill that will change the number of races audited after each election. GPB's Sarah Callis reports the law came out of the General Assembly's five-day special legislative session.
The bill expands races subject to risk-limiting audits. Now that the bill has been signed, races for president, Senate, governor, Congress, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and attorney general will be audited. Georgia Elections Director Blake Evans says counties are well prepared for the increase in audits.
Our counties have been doing this since 2020, and so they really have become accustomed and have bought in and know the process of conducting risk-limiting audits really well.
Currently, the Secretary of State's office randomly selects batches of ballots to be audited, and counties then compare the readable text of ballots in those batches to the machine counts to verify their accuracy. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis.
A new survey by the nonprofit Urban Institute finds about one-third of Georgia women who needed access to reproductive care between 2024 and 2025 did not receive it. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
Respondents to the Reproductive Health Experiences and Access Survey reported delays in care and trouble receiving their desired birth control methods. Emily Johnston is the principal research associate with the Urban Institute. She says they also found barriers to reproductive health care were not spread evenly across the population.
50% of respondents with a disability reported an unmet need for reproductive health care, 47% among those who identify as LGBTQIA, and 42% among those with public health insurance like Medicaid or no health insurance coverage.
Johnston says during future surveys, the Institute will more closely examine those barriers to care for people with disabilities. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
Many public school systems in Georgia are going into the 2027 fiscal year beginning in July, facing multiple headwinds in their budgets. The Macon-Bibb County School Board adopted a spending plan yesterday with bigger class sizes, no staff raises, and other deep cuts. The Savannah-Chatham County School Board finalized its budget on Wednesday, acknowledging slowing tax revenue growth, decreased enrollment, and higher costs. Superintendent Denise Watts.
The reality and the financial landscape around us is changing and will likely continue to change. We cannot continue to do business as usual.
Both districts have yet to set their millage rates, which could offset revenue losses. For the first time since September, no areas of Georgia are in extreme or exceptional drought. The latest drought monitor released yesterday shows about a third of the state in moderate drought, with only slivers in severe drought. The dry conditions set many farmers back and contributed to one of the worst wildfire seasons in Georgia history earlier this spring. While the recent rain was welcome, forecasters caution the state isn't entirely out of the woods yet, as the hottest months approach and a high-pressure dome sets up possibly weeks of slim chances of rain. After 52 years, the Democratic Republic of Congo is back in the World Cup tournament. GPB's Amanda Andrews spoke to fans from Georgia's Congolese community ahead of their game tomorrow in Atlanta.
Fans sang, danced, and waved flags at Centennial Olympic Park last week as Congo scored its first ever World Cup goal against Portugal. Over 3,000 Atlanta residents were born in the Democratic Republic of Congo. It was the first African nation to compete in the World Cup in 1974, when the country was still called Zaire. Diffi Mansha is Congolese and says he's excited to watch his home country in person for his first World Cup match.
Man, this is amazing. So many generations didn't see it. I wasn't born. My mom was like 1 year old last time we made it. And the fact that we can make it and let alone score in the first game against one of the favorites, this is insane.
The Democratic Republic of Congo will play Uzbekistan in Atlanta on Saturday. Kickoff is at 7:30. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
And for more on all things FIFA World Cup, let's turn to John Nelson of GPB Sports. John, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Glad to catch up with you, man. It's like trying to catch a comet by the tail these days.
There is a lot going on. Let's start with the match scheduled for tomorrow in Atlanta. What's exciting about this one?
It is, in wrestling parlance, it's loser leave town. If you have these two teams, DR Congo and Uzbekistan are at the bottom of their group, four teams in the group, and it is 1 and 2 playing each other tomorrow, 3 versus 4 playing each other tomorrow. If DR Congo wins, their first time that they've been in the tournament in over 50 years, if they win tomorrow, they get to go into the knockout phase. If Uzbekistan wins, then they get their first ever win in tournament history, and they keep both of them out of the knockouts because of the point system that's attached. So the emphasis is for DR Congo to win. Last time that they were in the tournament, they were known as Zaire back in the 1970s. And so it's an important day for both of these teams, and I will be interested to see what the crowd's going to be like at Atlanta Stadium.
A few big names are reaching individual milestones in the FIFA World Cup this year. Even those who don't follow soccer may know the names Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. What's going on with them?
You add in there Erling Haaland and Kylian Mbappe, and it is a race to the top for the golden boot in the tournament. It seems like, maybe FIFA scheduled this, wink, wink, to where that you would have three of the top stars playing back-to-back-to-back matches during match days here in the opening stage. But it seems like Lionel Messi is kind of waiting for what Erling Haaland and what Kylian Mbappe do on a daily basis. Literally, you would have Mbappe score twice. Then you would have Haaland score twice. Lionel Messi was like, here, hold my sports drink. He would get a hat trick. And so Messi has 5 goals through 2 matches. He's got 1 more match to go. It is a sprint. Cristiano Ronaldo now has 2 on the board. The race of the Golden Boot has a lot of big names attached.
The U.S. team played last night. That's exciting. How's the U.S. team doing?
They won their group, and it looks like they are going to be playing Bosnia and Herzegovina on July 1st, which will be a very, very busy day for a lot of folks. Round of 32, they won the group. They lost their last match in the group stage. It didn't mean anything when it came to positioning or anything like that. 9 substitutions in the starting lineup for head coach Mauricio Pochettino. He kind of wanted to see some things and wanted to see some players that weren't getting reps. You protect players from getting more yellow cards because those go away after the group stage. Obviously, expectations still very high. I know a lot of folks are saying quarterfinals are bust.
Fan Fest in Atlanta has been extremely popular. How's turnout been?
Over 275,000 people have shown up at Fan Fest downtown. Another 75,000 have shown up for Decatur Watch Fest during the tournament. So I guess if you're anywhere close to a MARTA line and you want to sample what's going on with not just your favorite team, but everyone else's favorites as the games have gone on, you can make a lot of new friends by going to Centennial Olympic Park, Decatur, or any of the other watch fests that are going on. Any place to watch a match, you can always find someone that loves the game as much as you do. But a lot of folks have shown out early.
And MARTA still functioning as expected?
And it is functioning faster. They are having their some of their larger traffic days. Close to 200,000 folks were making their way for match day 4 last time out earlier this week, heading to Atlanta Stadium. But it is like every 5 to 10 minutes, like clockwork, and it is humming right along. And it's been interesting to see. But you're seeing a lot of different jerseys taking advantage of the MARTA line going to Atlanta Stadium or all the Fan Fest we've been talking about.
And finally, this is keeping you very busy. How are you holding up?
let's see. So the last time I think I got consecutive 3 and 4 hours of sleep days was back in college. And so that was back at the time of the Industrial Revolution. So I'm still trying to get adjusted to the idea of I'm an eighter. I'm an eight hour guy. For me to get only half of that, it is definitely something that is run by caffeine and carbs. And the other four food groups, the other two food groups when it comes to those four are delivery and dessert. So we're on a path, and I think December will be when we rest.
All hail caffeine and carbs. GPB Sports, John Nelson, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Anytime, my friend.
Airing now on PBS Kids is America's Awesome Kids, a series of 25 live-action shorts produced by GBH with help from nearly 24 PBS stations across the country. Now featured on the program is 7-year-old Sahana from Ackworth, Georgia, who shares her love of Georgia peaches and Bollywood dancing and helps organize a park cleanup through her group called Helping Heart Girls. The group's motto is, "We are givers, not keepers."
We are trying to give away stuff to people that need it rather than just keep it for ourselves.
Find the video featuring Sahana and other America's Awesome Kids shorts at pbskids.org. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to learn more about any of these stories, visit gpb.org/news. Subscribing to this podcast is a great way to stay on top of the news, so subscribe now and you won't miss a thing. And if you've got feedback, we would love to hear from you. Send it to us by email. The address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We will see you next week.